Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Live Dharma Sunday. If you have called in to listen to this morning's broadcast, please note that all lines have been placed on mute to avoid background interference. If you are joining us from either the Bright Dawn Name site or the Blog Talk Radio site, please note that it is not necessary to call in. If you're experiencing loss of audio or the Blog Talk Radio player is not working properly, please refresh your page and hit the play button once more. It may take a few moments for your browser to complete the buffering process. Once again, welcome to Live Dharma Sunday and enjoy the broadcast.
Good morning, and welcome to Live Dharma Sunday for June 23rd, 2013. I'm Wendy Shinyo-Halet, your host again for today. We're in the summer solstice and the super moon day, so I'll have some things to say about that. But first, let's welcome Patty Kayo, whose unique Bright Dawn Dharma name means home, and whose that part is added to our lineage name, which is the Yo part, which means sun. So Patty lives in the sunny, pardon the pun, Pacific Northwest on Whidbey Island with her husband, Doug Cuyo, who actually presented last week's Dharma Glimpse. Patty Kayo worked as a court reporter in Southern California before she retired, and she has two adult children, loves gardening, cooking, and all things domestic. So she says that name, home, is very fitting for her. Patty and Doug enjoy road trips and are looking forward to exploring their new Pacific Northwest area. So here is Patty Kayo with today's Dharma Glimpse.
Good morning. Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. John Lennon. My husband recently retired, and we finally implemented our plan of 8 years ago to move from Southern California to the Pacific Northwest. Shortly after arriving, I experienced a tremendous letdown. Now what? Our original plan 8 years ago included my two daughters. They have both taken their own paths in other states by now. The original plan included our two dogs. They both unexpectedly died shortly before we left to come here. The original plan included relocated jobs. No jobs, no kids, no dogs now. At one point in our lives, the goal was to simplify and divest ourselves of some of our responsibilities, but I pictured the transition differently than how it happened. Now I find myself feeling lost and not in control. I knew that given enough time, things would fall into place. There's plenty of work to be done, but the ambition and enthusiasm that sustained me during the last several years seemed to have evaporated. I even questioned our sanity in making the decision to move up here and away from the people and life we knew in Southern California. I kept thinking about all that I had lost and how I thought things should have gone. And it didn't help to tell myself that attachment to these feelings was keeping me miserable. There's a small pond next to our house up here, and more I found myself hanging out to watch the mother duck and her 11 ducklings that had taken up residence there. The ducklings seemed to grow daily. They had so much enthusiasm that I couldn't help but be delighted in just watching them. I found myself drawn many times a day to watch them perform their lessons in grooming and swimming, flapping and quacking. In the beginning, all 11 ducklings were always huddled around their mother. Then a week or two later, mother duck was floating farther away from them, and the ducklings began to practice their swimming and dabbling using the whole pond, not just next to mom. I wondered to myself if she was prepared for the inevitable separation. I kept thinking how any day now I'm going to look out there and see an empty pond. Mother Duck will have done her job and they will fly away. I snapped myself back into the present so I didn't miss any of the action going on in real time. When I get immersed in ruminating about the past, observing nature helps bring me back to the present. Mother Duck has reminded me that separation is part of the job and that our nurturings are never lost. I remind myself to stay flexible, let go of clinging, and stay in the now. I'm grateful for so many weeds to pull up here. It takes me outside of the house, outside of my head, and into nature's theater for more lessons. We are meeting our neighbors, and there are many volunteer opportunities up here, so I'm sure we'll find a useful niche for ourselves. I imagine I'll never stop missing our kids, pets, and former selves, but these feelings can live in a quieter place as living in real time gets the focus. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty Kyle. Wow, that was an intimate Dharma glimpse. The feeling lost and feeling out of control. I think we've all had that experience. It's scary. Yep, as Patty pointed out, it's real. It's true. It's true seeing. Seeing life as it really is, not as we had planned, not as we hoped, as Patty said, but as it is. You know, sitting in that place that she's talking about, that place of sort of uncertainty, I found it to be a wonderful spiritual practice. If we could just stay there, make sure we're staying there and learning from it rather than trying to escape the feeling. You know, we're so quick to escape uncomfortable feelings. We try to comfort ourselves with diversions. But I think the true spiritual practice, the true spiritual practitioner knows that it's sitting with that discomfort, like Patty's doing, sitting with the questions, not trying to run away, but feeling the feelings of loss, feeling sort of out of control, which is okay. You know, the sense we are in control anyway, I think, is illusory. You know, Jeff Wilson wrote a book called Buddhism of the Heart about Shin Buddhism, and he said that Pure Land Buddhism teaches that the source of our suffering is clinging to the deluded belief that one's own individual power is itself fully sufficient. He also wrote that our ideas of power and control are really illusions. You know, that's the blessing that I found in coming to Jodo Shinshu Buddhism from other practices and studies of Buddhism. It's that very recognition of our being lost and out of control, the acceptance that we are, in fact, in all honesty, foolish, silly beings. It is the teaching revealed to us by Amida's light, the boundless light of a compassionate life that shines on us all. That boundless light of compassion, that recognizing, that letting yourself over to the fact that, gee, you know, I'm not in control. I really don't know what I'm doing half the time. That awakens a compassion, not just for ourselves, which I really noticed how Patty is giving herself room to be compassionate for herself, but that compassion for ourselves then expands and encompasses compassion for all other people, all other foolish beings, or bamboo, as we call them. And then the uncertainty that Patty feels, that we all felt, I think, is really become something to be grateful for. After all, you know, I was thinking when she was talking, if we were never lost, we could never be found. This is a great idea to think about and explore during this time of summer solstice, this longest day of the year for us here in the Northern Hemisphere. The day where the northern part of the earth is tilted the closest towards the sun. I read on someone's blog this week, and, you know, I'm sorry, I couldn't find it again to give proper credit. I can't remember who this blogger was, but I'm going to borrow the concept of this blogger anyway. The blogger wrote that he or she saw the tilt of the earth at the summer solstice as a time of the earth leaning in to the sun. You know, I really liked that. And it's become a turning phrase, a catchphrase for me that I think I will use for the rest of my life. When I think of leaning in, I think of how small children lean into their mother or father as a source of comfort. I think of my dog, Bella. She leans into me on the couch or in bed, snuggling close, connecting, being supported, begging me for more pets. This is what the earth is doing right now, leaning into the sun. The sun that supports and sustains the earth and supports and sustains all of us that live on this planet. You know, without the sun, there'd be no life. Yet if the sun was too close to the earth, we'd burn up. If it was too far away, we'd be a cold, frozen rock. But the sun isn't too far, and it's not too close. It's just right to sustain our life on Earth. Now, this makes me full of gratitude and gives me the ability to trust, have faith, and to sit in those suspended feelings of being lost or sad or confused. You know, you have to think. You know, you and I don't have anything to do with how the Earth and the sun are positioned. They're positioned perfectly to support my life and all of our lives here on Earth. We have no control over that positioning. Yet, every morning, here we are. We're not igniting into a ball of fire. We're not turning into a cold, dead planet. We're alive. You know, I imagine no matter how lost Patty feels, and I know, no matter how lost I've ever felt, I did trust that I would wake up to see the sun the next morning, still positioned perfectly to sustain and support me. At the winter solstice, you know, we celebrate the rebirth or the return of the sun when the earth begins to get closer and closer and there's just a little more promise of a little more light every day. Yet at that time, that actual time of the winter solstice, it is the shortest day, the longest period of dark. Now, we could actually feel lost in that long, dark time of this winter solstice. And feel sort of unsure, out of control, because we're not sure that the sun's going to return. But we don't. We celebrate. We're sure that it will return. And we have trust in that. And then we're grateful for that. You know, the long nights of December are always marked by celebrations in every religion and spiritual community, from nature-based pagan religions, polytheistic religions, Christian, Jew, Buddhist. You know, in December, the celebration begins. As Buddhists, we celebrate the light of awakening. The historical Buddha, Shakyamuni, was awakened. And according to the Buddhist stories, on the morning of Siddhartha's awakening, he saw the morning star. He looked up and said, "How marvelous! I, the great earth, and all beings are naturally and simultaneously awakened." Now, at that moment, he gave us the trust that we aren't lost. In fact, we are certain to be found and awakened. It is his promise that although we don't recognize it most of the time, that we are confused, lost, and foolish beings, the light of Amida Buddha, which is the light without bounds, infinite light, that sure light of our Buddhist nature shines on us, lights our way. It first shows us that we are lost and confused, but then finds our way around that, beyond that, accepting it, transcending it. That light is forever and in every place shining on us. Even when the earth has rotated away at night, it still shines, lighting our path with wisdom to recognize that we are not in control, yet embracing us with compassion. In the larger Pure Land Sutra, it says that there is no place that is not illuminated by the light emanating from the Buddha. In the Tenbutsu Ge, which is the song and praise of the Buddha, song of the life of no regret from the larger Pure Land Sutra, Dharmakara, who becomes Amida, sings a song of praise to this immeasurable light of the Buddha. He sings, "To me, your bright light is so majestic and independent. This awesome nobility is beyond limitation. There is nothing to equal such brightness. Even the brightness of the sun and moon and Mani jewels seem like black ink compared to your brightness. Yes, and even in the darkness of winter, we can rest in or lean into the support that is always there for us. And now, at the summer solstice, the fruits of that support are bursting in bloom, evident all around us, in luscious berries, yellow flowers on tomato plants, miniature cucumbers and green peppers, baby birds learning to feed themselves, and those 11 ducklings on the pond nearby Patty's house." You know, that Patty finds her refuge in nature's theater, you know, is proof that she's unconditionally supported, not lost after all. Nature is one of my most wonderful Dharma teachers. Just this morning, Tricycle Magazine's daily Dharma email, I saw this little nugget from a writer named Mark Coleman, and he had an article called A Breath of Fresh Air, Seven Meditations for Connecting with Nature. He writes in this article that nature teaches us simplicity and contentment because in its presence we realize that we really need very little to be happy. He also wrote that to be present in nature, we need to let go of our stories. He reminds us to be aware of how the spaciousness that can arise in nature allows a natural disidentification with the inner turmoil that we feel, or the ability to regain a perspective. That's what Patty was pointing out in her glimpse. She got her perspective back by watching the mother duck and her ducklings. I think that is the grace. That is the evidence of the grace of the Buddha shining light on us all the time. That we need very little to be happy. There's nothing we need to do to be in that light, to receive the teachings of the wisdom of the Dharma. It's just there for us. Patty just had to walk to the pond. This wisdom that recognizes that all things are perfect and all of us are accepted just as we are, yes, even when we're lost, alone, sad, angry, confused. You know, in one of my favorite Dharma books of all time, Dharma Breeze, Haneda Sensei wrote, "When light comes into a dust-filled room, even the dust starts to shine." So if you are, or Patty is anything like me, sometimes the best thing you can do is lean in and let go when we are struggling with something, a problem or an unwanted emotion. All we need to do is rest in the support that we know is forever and always there for us. To surrender to whatever it is that has us into its grasp. Give up. You know, when I give up trying to fix myself or someone else, when I give up that illusion of control and surrender to just what the heck is going on around me right now, I usually find that, like when the sun changes angles and I don't see the dust shimmering anymore, my problems have become harder to see. And eventually, they don't look at all like problems. They now look like opportunities. Now, I look back at life. I was trying to think of all those times. And it is my experience that when things happen, the first thing that happens, we are shocked. We struggle to find a way to deal with them. And we sort of grasp onto them thinking, you know, with that illusory sense of control that the more we wrestle with the thing, we're going to find a solution. That's the spiritual life challenging us in a positive way, I think. But if we sit and say, okay, I don't have any control, I'm just going to feel whatever it is I'm feeling, then I think the spiritual payoff happens. We see that we have transcended the shock, the lostness, the sadness, the grief through acceptance. As Reverend Coyle says, acceptance is transcendence. Now, three situations in my life come to mind. The first situation was in the late 1980s. I've been struggling with the chronic illness lupus for some time, but it got to the point that it forced me to leave my career in broadcasting. And that forced me to come to terms with who I really was and what I really wanted. I think many people can identify with that exact experience, maybe not from a chronic illness or something like that, but maybe from retirement or a layoff or being fired or having to move. You know, it's looking at yourself differently without the label that you had on yourself, that sort of sense of secure identity that you were this profession or you were this job. When that happens, though, some of us, I think, lose our moorings and we flounder about in the ocean, tossed, still trying to reach out for that little bit of floating debris from what we were. We want to grab so hard onto that last little bit for dear life because, you know what, we haven't relaxed long enough. We haven't just floated on the ocean supporting our weight to see that there's an island out there representing a new and better life right there, right in view, because we're too busy struggling. But if we relax and float on that current, we see that that current is pushing us toward that new self, that island, with no effort needed. You know, the second situation in my life that really stands out of that sense of lostness that Patty talks about was the sudden death of my mother in 1997. The shock, grief, and long feeling of being lost and alone and orphaned, it just seemed to go on forever. You know, they say grief takes a long time, don't rush it. Well, you know, I think if when your first big experience of it, you know, it really comes as a shock that it takes so long. But it moved me and motivated me to transform my life as a book Buddhist to a life lived and experienced every day, guided by the Dharma. In other words, not just reading about it, but trying to walk the talk. Now, the third experience I remember is more recent. It was just a little over a year ago when I went through a period of shock and hurt and disappointment due to something a friend did that I didn't expect. And the situation was such a blow to me that my normal fix-it impulse sort of burned itself out really quickly because there was so much emotion around it. The shock, the hurt, the anger retreated, though, when I opened to it. When I sat with the feelings in pure acceptance, letting the sadness take me, not trying to overcome it, be diverted by other things, not trying to fix it or fix blame, but just enduring, sitting with the wise. I found peace by giving up, giving in. I transcended my expectations. I transcended my judgment. I transcended my ego. I see that now as leaning in and letting go. So in this solstice week, let's all promise to lean in and let go of whatever is bothering us and bask in the sure light that is all around us. Namu Amida Butsu, and have a sun-filled, fun-filled, super moon summer day.